Today's full moon day, 8th of December 2003. We've been giving discourses for 1 week about the controlling faculties, the indriyas. We're touching on the first of the controlling faculties, namely sadda, faith and confidence. We're taking time on that because if one has no faith, because faith motivates the practice. If there's no faith, there will be no zeal to undertake the practice. If there's no zeal, one will not exert the necessary energy. So if the energy is not fully exerted, then one will not take risks in undertaking the practice. So only when we are able to exert energy will one be able to cultivate concentration and knowledge. So, first of all, we have to touch on the subject of sadda, faith and confidence, which is very important. We need to awaken or arouse this faith and confidence. We have done it with the exposition on the Dhamma quality, and out of the six Dhamma qualities, we mention the first of the six qualities, namely Svakata, well proclaimed is the Dhamma. So that your sadda will be awakened, if not awakened as yet, and if already awakened, it will be strengthened and enhanced, developed. That's why we have to take time in dealing with this subject, so as to arouse this faith and confidence, and also develop the already awakened faith and confidence. Today, after having awakened the faith and confidence with the Dhamma quality, we shall go on how to develop it with the practice. Knowing the Dhamma quality, in your own right, you are awakened, you are awakening, arousing, sadda. So we talk about one thing only, namely sadda. In fact, we are also arousing other factors for many states, namely Vriyasati Samadhi, energy, mindfulness and concentration. They are all also involved. By listening or knowing, learning, the quality of the Dhamma, the sadda is awakened. By knowing the quality of the Dhamma, namely Svakata, well proclaimed is the Dhamma. Especially when you are practicing Satipatthana Bhavana, we come to know the quality of Satipatthana practice, as has been assured in the beginning of the great discourse on Satipatthana. And also in the later part of the discourse, that one can even practice to attain arhatship or even anagami, the third path, consciousness, not to mention the first and the second path, consciousness, sarvapanna, sagaragami. If you undertake the practice, intensive practice, in 7 days, 7 months, or 7 years, you can attain to this stage. This was the assurance given by the Buddha in the later part of the discourse. In the beginning of the discourse also, the Buddha has given the assurance in terms of the seven benefits of Satipatthana. So by knowing that one sadda will be awakened. So if you combine these two things, the assurances in the beginning and the assurances in the aftermath, we should be able to awaken our faith and confidence. Saying to ourselves, alas, this Satipatthana is it gives great benefit. The benefits are significant, they are not trivial. So we can even attain up to the stage of the arhatship. So this is not trivial, this is very significant. Not to mention the lower stages, namely Sarapanna and Sagaragami. And also, in the beginning of the discourse, the Buddha has given assurance to realize seven benefits that they also not trivial, they are significant. So by understanding these things, one sadha should be awakened. And if the sadha is awakened, faith and confidence awakened, since faith motivates the practice, one will come to possess the strong desire to undertake the practice. In a sense, one will wish to take off. Here we say, show the minus sign, that means taking off or removing the impurities which have been with us all along our lifetimes, and put the plus sign in terms of developing positive mental states. So one will come to possess this kind of seed. And then in the later part of the practice, one will also be able to arouse one's energy. One will not hesitate to exert one's energy, beginning with initial launching energy and energy to overcome difficulties when one is confronted with difficult situations. And one will have the courage to forego the worldly pleasures, worldly happiness, in place of the supramundane or spiritual happiness, the Dhamma happiness, which excels manifold. Now, as regards the worldly happiness, it is fatal, deadly, whereas this Dhamma happiness, spiritual happiness, is free from harm. So one will have the courage, the heroic courage, to forego worldly happiness in place of Dhamma happiness. And in this way, the Buddha has given assurance, so there will be, one will have the courage, one is to exert energy, leading to strong mindfulness. Then with the mindfulness, one will be able to concentrate one's mind and thus cultivate knowledge, seeing things in their true nature. In this way, concentration, samadhi also will be awakened. In this way, by awakening sadha, faith and confidence, the viriya energy also will be aroused, and so will be mindfulness, leading to the awakening of concentration. And in this way, the awakened sadha will be developed with the practice. So we can say that from the knowledge by learning, known as sutta miyanyana, will be led to the knowledge gained by meditation, namely bhavana jnana. In this way, we develop the practice.
Okay,
as much as there are these four maxims or sayings in the arena of the Dhamma, so also in this present time, there also are these four sayings, Dhamma sayings, namely, with the practice, one's vision will become sharp. That is the first thing, sharpness of vision. The second one is the panoramic or widening and strengthening of the vision. And thirdly, we have this sharpness, then nitamara builds up. First, the vision is sharp and strong. The second one is widening, panoramic. That means the seeing is widened. Third one is active, the vision becomes very active, clear and active. And the fourth one is progressive. The vision becomes progressive. So in this way, these kinds of four kinds of vision are different from one another. You have sharpness, strengthening and widening, that's the second one. Then activity, it becomes active, energetic, that's the third one. And the fourth one is progressive, developing. So all these things will happen in the course of the practice, and we shall discuss now from the theoretical and practical aspects what are the supportive factors in order to come to these four kinds of vision. The causal mode and the universal characteristics of phenomena, seeing the natural characteristics and the universal characteristics is very important. It's very difficult to see unless you sharpen your concentration. As much as you sharpen your concentration, you will see these things, natural characteristics and universal characteristics, leading to the realization of Nibbana. For that, you need the assistance of concentration, so that your vision will become very sharp. So, there are factors which will lead to the sharpening of the vision, to the strengthening of the vision, and developing or enhancing of the vision through the stages. You need constant exertion of energy in order to realize these things. So there are these causes. For those who are very sharp initially, it's all right. Those who are not just normal persons, it is necessary to cultivate these factors, as has been given in the commentary of the Path of Purity, Vijuti Mega. There are 9 factors which lead to the sharpening of the faculties. This we shall discuss from now on. And the first of the 9 factors is given as one sees only the destruction of arisen formations. In Pali it is said as Upanupananam Sankharanam Kayameva Pasati. Upanupananam means arising and arising, ever arising one after another. Sankharanam, the object of meditation, namely the mind, the body, Namarupa. Kayameva, seeing the Pasati, seeing Kayameva, the destruction or dissolution. So one sees only the destruction of arisen formations. Now what are these arisen formations? They are nothing but these sense impressions, let us say, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, bending, stretching, sitting, standing, walking. All these things come under this sankharanam. Every time you want to sit from standing position, first of all, there's an intention to sit. Without intention, there will be no sitting process. Now, when you wish to sit, you mentally say or think, well, I wish to sit, wishing to sit, and so on. This happens not just once or one moment. This happens or arises one moment after another, successively. Although you may not notice it, you are wishing to sit. So as a result of the successive or series of desires or intentions to sit, there will be the sitting process. This wish, desire, or intention to sit is followed by the actual sitting process, namely the body sinking down, Maybe the body is a little swaying if you are doing slowly or bending. And in this way, the intention to sit occurs successively, stages by stages, followed by the sitting process. So these mentalities, dhamma, intentions, are happening many times, successively, by stages. And this is followed by bending or sitting, in this case, sitting process. If you want to bend, of course, bending. But here, we're talking about sitting, and this intention, series of intention, is followed by actual sitting process. So in 1 minute, in the span of 1 minute, there will be a lot of intentions to sit, followed by the body sinking down to sit. It's quite obvious. And if you are mindful, if you apply your mindfulness, you're bound to see this mind and body. That is, the intention as mind and sitting process of the body. This is the object of meditation. And these things arise, but not, they are not stationary, they pass away. So they arise and pass away without being stationary, without being permanent. In fact, they are fading away if you observe it closely. So, especially, it becomes evident at the inside knowledge known as Bengajnana, knowledge of dissolution, where the objects that you observe will be seen as dissolving, and so will be the mentalities, the nama, and sometimes both the object, both the mind and the body, the object and the noting mind, dissolve in pairs. So in this way you will be feeding, you will be observing the feeding way of this mind and body. And this happens to every arising object through the through any of the six sense doors. They will arise, they will not stay for long, instead they will dissolve, so they arise and pass away. So that has to be accepted, first and foremost. Not to resist that things will arise but not pass away. So this is what is meant by this first clause. So when you note at the very moment of the arising of the object, you come to observe this phenomena, that the mind and body arise and pass away. Every object, arising object, will behave in this way. However, in the beginning, your mindfulness is so strong as yet, nor will be your concentration, it will not be quite strong enough, and you will not even know the mind and the body, not be able to differentiate between mind and body. So in the beginning, you have to start with simple and obvious object, or few objects. Suppose, if the yogi is practicing anapanasati, the in and out breath, he or she will be paying attention at the nose. And those who are observing rising and falling of the abdomen, they will focus their attention on the abdomen to note what's happening there. So, in accordance with their exposition, one will observe his mind and body, whether one observes in and out breath or the rising and falling. In the rising and falling, if they note rising and falling, they will observe his sensations, namely stiffness, tension, movement. All these things are natural characteristics, and they will occur as you note, as you pay attention. If you observe rising of the abdomen as it rises, then you observe these sensations, these natural characteristics, such as abdomen rising, stiffness, stiffening, and tensing and all that. And the mind will go to that, you pay attention, you want to observe these transitions. When you observe falling, with aiming your mind towards that object, you observe the transition for natural characteristics, such as flattening, softening, deflation, and so on. So in this way, you will observe in a rough manner. Though in the beginning you may not see the rising and passing away, not even differentiate between mind and body, or the natural characteristic of mind and body. If you observe carefully, pay attention to the body and observe the mind and body, you have to observe the simple one, simple and few objects. That is what you have to start with. At that moment, you may come to observe the natural characteristics of mind and body, which are subject to conditions, relations, subject to cause and effect. And you will come to see later on, in the course of the practice, the dissolution, the destruction of the objects, how do you see Nibbana. In this way, you've got to develop this sadha, faith and confidence. And this faith and confidence have to be developed with the practice. Then faith and confidence, sadha, will become awakened, will become developed. In the beginning, you have to exert your energy in order to drive your noting mind towards the object, so that your noting mind will reach the object. That is the beginning. You begin to exert your energy. And in this way also, you are developing your sadha, faith and confidence. And as your energy is sharp, your noting mind will be attached to the object, will be noted to the object, will be sustained on the object. That is, you are, at this stage, you are initiating or beginning to develop your mindfulness. Your mindfulness is not so strong as yet. And so is concentration. You are just nurturing your concentration based on controlling factors, faculties, namely sadha, vriya, siddhi, samadhi. Just like a gardener will nurture his or her siblings in his or her garden. So if we are able to concentrate our mind on object of attention, cultivating this satipatthana bhavana, we are bound to realize, see the way of inside knowledge, develop inside knowledge. At that moment, the vision will become sharp, panoramic, widened, and progressive. That is the objective. So, of course, in the beginning, it's not possible to do that. However, one has got to safeguard the vipassana sapling of kriya jnana, sapling of insight, and sapling of the knowledge of the noble ones. Just like sowing the seed. So, there are these five ways of safeguarding this vipassana insight sapling. One has got to safeguard with sila, moral virtue, known as sila nukhita. Just like fencing the garden by the gardener, so that there will be no encroachment by animals or human beings. So this is one way of safeguarding the sibling of insight. The analogy is the fencing of the garden. Then we have to water the plants not too much, not too little, but in a medium manner. That is like listening to the sublime Dhamma, the good Dhamma. By listening to the suitable Dhamma, we are like watering the plants in the garden. In this way, we have to safeguard our insight, something of insight. And then we have to safeguard the insight by reporting to the teachers, meditation teachers, your observations and the practice. That is like walking the soil by the gardener so that the roots will go where they should go. And if the ground is too hard, you got to dig the ground, walk the ground, walk the soil, apply fertilizer, and so on. So in this way, just as the gardener safeguards his or her garden, our siblings, his or her siblings, so too the yogis should safeguard the sibling of their insight. And then another method is to safeguard with the tranquility practice, concentration, known as Samatha Nugahita, so that you overcome the hindrances to progress, known as Nivaranas, such as hindrances of sense desire, wishing to see, hear, taste, touch, and so on, hindrances of ill will, hindrances of sloth and torpor, hindrances of distraction, hindrances of skeptical doubt, all these things will be removed. Now, this is like the gardener removing the insects or pests which can destroy the plants. First of all, prevent the insects from infecting the plants, and if at all they have come on the plants, you have to remove by suitable means, by guarding your mind with vigilant mindfulness of every arising. So one has got to practice in order to not to allow these hindrances of progress to attack you, attack your mind. You have to do it every second, every moment of the practice. And then once you realize the result of the practice, like especially at the stage of the knowledge of the fast rising, passing way of objects, known as Buddhyajnana, you feel some feeling of well-being, rapturous feeling, and so on, as a result of the practice, which is known as Nikanti, subtle attachment. You will become attached to these rapturous feelings, illuminations, and things like that. So at that stage, you want to strengthen your insight by strong insight practice. At that stage, you see the dissolution of the mind and body objects. In this way, you protect or safeguard the sapling of the insight, just like the gardener will look after his or her siblings in the garden. So in this way, you safeguard with these means sapling of insight, just like the gardener protects his or her garden, and what, until you are able to have a strengthen your vision so that it becomes widened, sharp, sharpened, and progressive until you reach to the stage of the maturity of the knowledge of insight and the knowledge of the noble ones. At that stage, you are bound to realize the fruit of your practice, just like the gardener will reap the fruit of the garden of plants. So you safeguard your insight, sampling of insight with these methods so as to strengthen your vision until you reach the goal, So in this way, your vision will become sharpened, strengthened, widened, and progressive automatically.